Welcome to Richard Ellis Talks with Richard Ellis. Richard's going to take the next few minutes to share some great words of hope, insight, humor, and relevance. In today's lost and searching world, that's something everyone desperately needs to hear. Speaking of that, we'd love to keep this conversation going with you anytime through our website, richardellistalks.com. In fact, there's so many ways to connect with us from there that you really need to check it out for yourself, richardellistalks.com. But right now, let's go ahead and get things off and running with today's talk. Here's Richard Ellis.
The title of today's message is Canceled. And one of the definitions of canceled is to decide or announce that a planned event will not take place. School, canceled. Sports, canceled. Working from the office, canceled. Going to the movies, canceled. Going to the theater, canceled. Going out to eat, canceled. Taking that trip, canceled. Weddings, canceled. I was going to say funerals, but it's hard to cancel a funeral. Church, in a lot of places, canceled. Almost everything, canceled. Very disturbing, very hard, a lot of consequences, some seen, some unseen over the course of time. Nothing worse than even in good times when a sporting event, you find out it's been rained out and go online, whatever, send out a tweet and canceled. Very disappointing to have things canceled. What's even tougher is to be canceled as a person. If you go to the Urban Dictionary, I don't recommend this a lot because it can get pretty dicey in the Urban Dictionary, but canceled there, a more modern definition is to dismiss something or somebody, to reject an individual or an idea. Now you say, well, there's this cancel culture now. This is some kind of new thing. Well, let me tell you something. This is nothing new about cancel culture. There's an enemy, a real enemy in the world, and he's got agendas. You say, well, we have agendas, right? We want to see people end up in heaven. We want to see people walk with God, know God. Yeah, we have that goal. For a Christian, and listen very carefully, because I grew up around some Christians who got this wrong. Supposedly they were Christians. If you present the gospel to someone and they say no to the gospel, you don't cancel that person. Amen. You plant a seed. They look at you and say, you know what, whatever, dude, and they walk away, act like they don't care. That is not your call. We are called to love people, to share the gospel, to be salt, to be light, and to love people even when they reject him or if they reject us. Don't be surprised that someone wants to cancel you because you're telling them that they might get canceled if they don't accept Christ. The world doesn't play by these rules, especially the mean bully world. And it is literally that. It is literally some bullies that decide this is what we say is right. And I am so fascinated by this cultural kind of shift going on in the world because the world is telling us that there is no absolute truth. If there is no such thing as absolute truth, then why are you so absolutely sure that you're right and I'm wrong? That sounds absolute. Used to be we had conversation, discussion, ideas, arguments. We would exchange these things, and then you'd say, okay, well, that's what you say, and I say this, and I say, I see, you don't agree, great. God bless you, nice to meet you, and we move on. But now we say no. If you don't believe in my absolute truth, then I don't believe in you, period, and you don't exist. And people will boycott your business, they'll boycott you, they'll march on your house, who knows what's next? You say, well, you're getting all political. There's nothing political about this. This has been going on forever. Go to John chapter 9. Let's jump in the Bible quick before somebody jumps. Now you say, well, how has this been going on? Does this happen? Of course it happens. And let me remind us all, if you're a Christian especially, you've got to stop being surprised that the world hates you. Marvel not that the world hates you, straight out of Scripture. They didn't like him, didn't like Jesus. They're not going to like you. You can speak the truth in love all you want. Someone is not going to like it. They're going to push back, and they don't play by the same rules that we as Christians are supposed to play by. John chapter 9. Now, as Jesus passed by, he saw a man who was blind from birth, and his disciples asked him, saying, Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? So somebody had to sin, or this guy couldn't be born blind. Jesus answered, neither this man nor his parents sinned, but that the works of God should be revealed in him. If you think about your challenge, if you think about whatever's going on in your life, and God had said to you before the foundation of the world, look, this is part of your life, this is what's coming, and I'm going to allow it for this reason, that the works of God should be revealed in you, would you say, okay, I'll sign up? And you'll see in a minute, this guy was over 40 years old, so he had spent 40 years of his life begging, couldn't see, and then Jesus finally shows up. Keep reading. I must work the works of him who sent me while it is day. The night is coming when no one can work. As long as I'm in the world, I am the light of the world. When he had said these things, and look at this. Now, you got to really thank God the guy's blind because he can hear this, but he doesn't know what's really happening. Jesus spat on the ground, made clay with the saliva, and he anointed the eyes of the blind man with the clay. Spits on the ground, gets some dirt, makes some clay, rubs it on his eyes, and then tells him this. And he said to him, go wash in the pool of Siloam, which is translated sent. In other words, the name of this pool. So those are instructions. Spits on the ground, makes clay, rubs it on his eyes, and says, go wash in the pool of Siloam. Now, you say, well, that's nuts. Now, let me say this very slowly. If Jesus tells you to do something very simple, just do it. You say, well, it can't be that easy. If he gives you instructions, he didn't say go wash your face in a creek in the faucet. Do this. Just do what I'm telling you to do. And we argue and try everything else in the world. You find a scripture. Jesus says, this is what I'm telling you to do. Don't complicate it. Just do what it says. So he went and washed and came back seeing. Now, I don't know what this guy's thinking on the way, but you've had somebody spit on the ground, rub dirt, spit and dirt in your eyes. You can't see anyway. And now you got to fumble your way wherever they were. He's got to get from there to this pool of Siloam. And he does what he says. Now you think, well, why would he do that? What's he got to lose? You're begging your whole life. And someone comes along with an answer. And you say, well, I'm not doing that. Well, what are you going to do? Just sit there and do what you've been doing the rest of your life? What have you got to lose? What if this guy is somebody? What if what he's telling you to do would really work? Came back seeing. Verse 8, therefore the neighbors of those who previously had seen that he was blind said, is not this he who sat and begged? Like, isn't that the beggar guy, the blind beggar guy? Some said, this is he. Others said, he looks like him. But he said, I am he. It's me. Like, you know, no matter what you think, yeah, it's me, I am he. Therefore they said to him, how were your eyes opened? He answered and said, a man called Jesus made clay and anointed my eyes and said to me, go to the pool of Siloam and wash. So I went and washed and I received sight. Now this is so simple. That's exactly what happened. Now it gets a little complicated. Then they said to him, well, where is he? He said, I do not know. They brought him who formerly was blind to the Pharisees. So now they're taking him to the religious rulers. Now it was a Sabbath when Jesus made the clay and opened his eyes. Then the Pharisees also asked him again how he had received his sight. He said to them, notice how his story is getting shorter. I've been telling you people this over and over. Now his story is, he put clay on my eyes and I washed and I see. Therefore, some of the Pharisees said, this man is not from God because he does not keep the Sabbath. Now, look at how crazy religious people are. It's the Sabbath. Jesus has healed a blind man, made him to see, and they're worried about what day it happened on. Run for your life from religious crazy people. Amen. There are people out there who, in the name of God, in the name of Jesus, put all kind of junk on you that has nothing to do with anything. God shows up and they go, oh, it can't be God because it doesn't fit in with our little box. Keep reading. This man is not from God because he did not keep the Sabbath. Others said, how can a man who is a sinner do such things? So now the Pharisees are arguing amongst themselves, and there was a division among them. They said to the blind man again, what do you say about him because he opened your eyes? He said, he is a prophet. But the Jews did not believe concerning him that he had been blind and received his sight until they called the parents of him who had received his sight. So we don't believe that you were blind. So what are we going to do? Get your parents in here. Now it gets tricky for the parents. And they asked them saying, is this your son who you say was born blind? How then does he now see? His parents answered them and said, we know that this is our son and that he was born blind. But by what means he now sees, we do not know. Or who opened his eyes, we do not know. He is of age. Ask him. He will speak for himself. Now, why would they divert it back to their son? The next verse. His parents said these things because they feared the Jews, for the Jews had agreed already that if anyone confessed that he was Christ, he would be canceled. Doesn't say that, but let me read you what it says. He would be put out of the synagogue. Now, what do we fear as human beings? Loss of face, loss of place, loss of life. So someone comes along and says, oh, you're a Christian. We go, maybe, maybe not. If I say yes, is that gonna be okay? If I say no, what are you gonna say about me, do to me? Are you gonna unlike me? Are you gonna whatever, defriend me? What's gonna happen? You're deciding what you're gonna do based on what they're gonna do if you come out with who you are. You gotta get over this. These parents are terrified that what? They're gonna lose their place. They're gonna be thrown out of the synagogue and then they won't be able to go back because they picked a side. Therefore, his parents said, he is of age, ask him. So they called the man who was blind and said to him, give God the glory. In other words, don't give Jesus any glory, give God the glory. We know that this man is a sinner. So now they're not only arguing about this guy being blind, was he healed? He's claiming Jesus healed him, and they're saying that Jesus is a sinner. He answered and said, whether he is a sinner or not, I do not know. One thing I know. What is one thing? He finally sums this whole thing down to the long story, the shorter story, and then this is down to this. Though I was blind, now I see. I once was blind, now I see. So someone asks you, what happened to your life? Well, I was living, boom, boom, boom. You tell your story. And someone shared the gospel. My grandma was praying for me and bada bing, bada boom, kept going. And I became a Christian. And then they go, wow, dude, well, that doesn't make any sense. So what again? Dude, I already told you. This is what happened to me. Yeah, we don't get it. Then maybe you'll get this. I once was blind, now I see. And it's obvious to everybody who knows me that that's true. If you are a Christian and you choose to forget about what the world says about you and what they're gonna do to you if you come out, and you start living that way, then people are gonna go, so you really are? Like, yeah, I really am. You're not backing down. No, I'm not backing down. I'm not hating and canceling you because you're not, but I'm gonna take a stand on this. This is what happened. No one has ever changed my life like Jesus. I'm not gonna abandon him or act like I don't know him. Keep reading. Then they said to him again, what did he do to you? How did he open your eyes? Now it's getting a little choppy. He answered them, I told you already and you do not listen. Why do you want to hear it again? Like I've already told you my story, you're not listening. Do you also want to become his disciples? Now a little sarcasm here. Then they reviled him and said, you are his disciple, but we are Moses' disciples. We know that God spoke to Moses. As for this fellow, we do not know where he is from. The man answered and said to them, why, this is a marvelous thing that you do not know where he is from, yet he has opened my eyes. You don't, like, unbelievable. You don't know where he's from, yet he has opened my eyes. I was blind, now I see. Now we know that God does not hear sinners, but if anyone is a worshiper of God and does his will, he hears him. Since the world began, listen to this guy's testimony. Now he's on a roll. Since the world began, it has been unheard of that anyone opened the eyes of one who was born blind. Like, are you kidding me? How can he be anyone else but sent from God? If this man were not from God, he could do nothing. They answered and said to him, you were completely born in sins, and are you teaching us? And they cast him out. Now that little verse right there, that little phrase, and they cast him out, you better be prepared for that because that will come. You take a stand, and I'm gonna tell you, there's some of you out there, some in this room, who have been a part of churches, and you took a stand, and you're gone. Now I'm not talking about taking a stand on crazy stuff. I'm just talking about taking a stand on a biblical principle. Keep reading. So they cast him out, and look at verse 35. They still haven't found Jesus. Jesus heard that they had cast him out, and when he had found him, now look at that. You say, well, I got cast out. Let me tell you somebody who's looking for you, Jesus. Jesus heard that he got cast out. He knew there was gonna be trouble for this guy, but why was the guy born blind in the first place? That the glory of God would be revealed. This guy was born literally so Jesus could show up in his life and do this. When he had found him, he said to him, do you believe in the Son of God? He answered and said, who is he, Lord, that I may believe in him? And then this is astonishing, verse 37. And Jesus said to him, you have both seen him, and it is he who is talking with you. The guy hadn't seen anything in his life. And now all of a sudden, Jesus says, you have seen him, and you're talking to him. It's me. Then he said, Lord, I believe, and he worshiped him. This is so simple. So Jesus comes to you. You say, well, Jesus has never come to me. Let me tell you something about Jesus coming to you. When Jesus comes to you, you know he's in the room. You know he's there. You say, well, I've never seen him. And you say, well, have you seen Jesus? I've never seen Jesus, but I've been in a room with him. You say, well, what is that like? I don't know. Why don't you come visit? Because he's right here. And even better than that, when you become a Christian, he literally takes residence in your body. So I don't have to go far to talk to Jesus. Simple things like, Lord, I believe. And he worshiped him. And Jesus said, for judgment I have come into this world, that those who do not see may see, and that those who see may be made blind. Then some of the Pharisees who were with him heard these words and said to him, are we blind also? Jesus said to them, if you were blind, you would have no sin, but now you say we see, therefore your sin remains. You don't realize you're blind. You can be physically able to see and be spiritually blind and miss everything that God's up to in the world. Ask him to open and heal your spiritual eyes, and then you start seeing and understanding things you never saw before. Acts chapter 3. Look at all this stuff in the Bible. What a book. What a book. Acts chapter 3. So, in Acts chapter 3, Jesus is gone, dies on the cross, buried, raised from the dead, ascended into heaven. Now he's left his Holy Spirit, and he's working through the apostles. Acts 3:1. Now Peter and John went up together to the temple at the hour of prayer, the ninth hour, and a certain man, lame from his mother's womb. So we've talked about a blind man from his mother's womb, and now here's a kid born lame from his mother's womb, was carried, so somebody every day carried him, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms from those who entered the temple, because that's what you did. A guy can't work, so he's going to be a beggar. Get him up at the temple, and he's going to ask alms from those who entered the temple, who, seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, asked for alms, and fixing his eyes on him with John, Peter said, look at us. So this guy's asked for, he's begging, he's asked for them to give him something, and they say, look at us. So he gave them his attention, expecting to receive something from them. Then Peter said, silver and gold I do not have, but what I do have, I give you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. And the guy gets up and walks. What you got? So somebody says, hey, will you help me? You say, well, maybe it's true. Silver and gold I don't have. What you got? If you don't have any silver and gold, what you got? You got Jesus. Are we passing out Jesus? Are we offering Jesus? Because this guy got stuff along the way every day, but somebody shows up with Jesus, that'll change your life and your eternity. Now go down for the sake of time. This creates an uproar as well. He's walking. He enters the temple walking, leaping, and praising God. These are people that dead churches do not want around. You can get saved, but keep your walking and jumping and praising and leaping outside somewhere. We don't need you coming in here disturbing things, and our insurance doesn't cover half of that anyway. What do you think you'd do if you've been lame from birth? Got you some legs up under you finally. You'd be jumping around too. Stop trying to muzzle newborn Christians who are excited and they don't know they're not supposed to end up like us. And then we get around and we go, okay, we know you're really excited. You got some Jesus. We got some Jesus. But look at us. We're not running around like crazy people like you. And I always love this one. Grown men, you know, distinguished men, all in control. And you put them in the right sporting event. They are up on their feet, fists in the air, boom, 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 high-fiving like a bunch of fools. Where's all the high-fiving in church? I guess we'd have to serve beer for that. Well, what do you mean? Well, you know, I get a little loosened up and then I feel free to be myself. You get you some Jesus, he'll loosen you up. Amen. Don't be drunk in which is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. Get drunk. The Bible doesn't say don't get drunk. It just tells you what to get drunk on him. So here we're getting to the verses, verse 14. So they're called in, give a reason for this. But you denied the Holy One and the just and asked for a murder to be granted to you and killed the Prince of Life, whom God raised from the dead, of which we are witnesses. And his name, through faith in his name, has made this man strong, whom you see and know. Yes, the faith which comes through him has given him this perfect soundness in the presence of you all. Yet now, brethren, I know that you did it in ignorance, as did also your rulers. But those things which God foretold by the mouth of all his prophets that the Christ would suffer, Jesus dying on the cross and other stuff, he has thus fulfilled. And then verse 19, repent therefore and be converted that your sins may be blotted out so that times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord. And if you go read that word blotted out, canceled. Go to Colossians chapter 2. Colossians chapter 2, we're going to jump into verse 13. And you being dead in your trespasses and the uncircumcision of your flesh, he has made alive together with him, having forgiven you all trespasses. And then look at verse 14. Having wiped out the handwriting of requirements that was against us, which was contrary to us, and he has taken it out of the way, having nailed it to the cross. Having disarmed principalities and powers, he made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them in it. New International Version translates verse 14, having canceled the charge of our legal indebtedness, which stood against us and condemned us, he has taken it away, nailing it to the cross. New American Standard Bible, having canceled out the certificate of debt consisting of decrees against us, which was hostile to us, and he has taken it out of the way, having nailed it to the cross. When a criminal was executed, they would write down the charges, everything against them, and they would nail it to the cross. And everyone would know this is what he's dying for. What's your list look like? What's on your list? If all your junk got written out, I spoke with a man recently who had been abused as a child, sexually abused, beaten by his dad. And I'm always fascinated. People will write me or call me and say, I can't believe you told everybody my story. I'm like, dude, it wasn't your story. It's everybody's story. You're not the only person this has happened to. And finally, at 40 years of age, his wife didn't even know what had happened to him as a child. And finally got some help, got some counseling, and shared what had happened to him. We say, well, that's something that happened to him. What if you're the perpetrator and that's on your list? What's on your list? And are you able to put it on your own cross and you get on that cross and die for your list and that cleaned it up? I'm going to tell you something. You are not. What Jesus did, and if you go look up the word canceled or cancel, one of the definition is to mark, pierce, or tear a ticket, check, or postage stamp to show that it has been used or invalidated. Jesus got punched as your ticket, and that's the only way you're going to make it. You say, well, I got my ticket punched to heaven. It's because he got punched, he got pierced, he got holes in his hands and his feet, and he died in your place and in mine. So he got canceled, so I wouldn't have to. So all the stuff you could come up with right on my list, all of that got put on his cross, and when he died, all of my sin got what? Canceled.
Before Richard comes back to wrap things up for us today, I'd like to share a couple important things with you. Let me encourage you to take a minute and check out our website, richardellistalks.com. You'll find today's talk right there in the talks page, along with all of Richard's messages. You can even forward them to a friend so they can hear them too. You'll also find the prayer wall to add your prayer requests, a link to connect with us, the contribute page for you to be able to give to this ministry, a radio station finder, all our social media links, and much more. So check it out. RichardEllisTalks.com. And Richard's back now to wrap up today's talk.
So you meet someone, you say, well, okay, you're saying this guy's a Christian, but he did this, 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 and this. You can accuse all you want. The scripture says, the accuser of our brethren, that's all the devil can do. He cannot condemn you. All he can do is accuse you. So don't confuse accusation with being able to condemn you and sentence you. He cannot sentence you. Jesus got sentenced for me. I am not going to get sentenced. So my whole big old long list got nailed to his cross. And just what it says, having wiped out the handwriting of requirements that was against us, against me, which was contrary to us. And he has taken it out of the way, having nailed it to the cross, his cross. Jesus is your only ticket to heaven, and he got punched for you. And your one-way ticket to hell that the devil had booked for you got canceled. If you say yes and believe.
You've been listening to Richard Ellis Talks. We really appreciate that you've spent this time with us, but we want to keep the conversation going with you. A couple of ways you can connect with us is by giving us a call anytime at 855-6-RICHARD. That's 855-6-RICHARD. Another way is through our website, richardellistalks.com. You can email us, sign up to get the daily talk sent to your phone each day, right on the prayer wall where we can pray for you, or even stay in touch through our Facebook page at Talk with Richard. We love bringing you the program every day, but it means even more to us when you let us know how the program has helped you. So call 855-6-RICHARD or connect with us at our website, richardellistalks.com. Finally, if you enjoy the program, let us know by your generous support. It would really mean a lot to us. richardellistalks.com. So until next time, have a great day, and thank you for listening to Richard Ellis Talks.